On November 3rd, the YWCA of the Greater Capital Region and the Art Center for the Capital Region, or is it of the Capital Region?
Of the Capital Region.
We'll present the third annual Brava fundraiser. The event showcases local artists reading poems, songs, monologues, and essays on the topic of bras and their lives.
Yes.
Last year's event featured 12 talented writers from around the Capital Region whose pieces touched on the subject of bras from many viewpoints, which ranged from the poignant to, yes, the hilarious. More than 500 bras were collected last year and were provided to those in need at the YWCA and throughout the greater Capital Region.
Yes.
Brava was founded by author, editor, and educator Marianne Roach Smith, who is our dear friend, and we welcome her to the program this morning.
Good morning.
We also welcome DeQuetta Jones. She is the executive director of the YWCA, and it's a great pleasure to see her again and have her before our microphones. Thank you very much.
Thank you for
having
me.
A delight to have you here. Well, Marianne, let's begin with you about, can you believe it's been 3 years and look what you've gotten yourself into?
All those bras. That's what I say. I measure my success in this event by the bras we've collected. And we've collected more than 1,000 bras. Yeah,
absolutely.
And they've gone out to the women who need them. And we've met new people who have come into the Y who need them. We've met people who have come in to volunteer to fit these women for bras. We've met people who have sent bras anonymously, or I guess we haven't met them. People still send them in envelopes, unmarked, just here you go, here's a brand new bra. So this seems to resonate with people. Women who are leaving situations where they might have to leave quickly, they might have a life change that demands that they get out quick, might end up someplace where they don't have a bra. And if you don't have a bra, you're not going to go register your kids for school. You're not going to go vote. You're not going to go pick up your meds at the pharmacy. Think about the things that you won't do if you can't have a bra on. So this gets people bras.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be here today without one.
Right.
And Matt, that would make two of us.
Yes. They are important.
Much as we love you, Joe, we wouldn't be here without our bra.
I understand. Rightfully so. How did this, I love origin stories, so real quick, how did this get on your radar in the first place?
So three Christmases ago, I got a request from the Y to sponsor a family at Christmas, and it was a woman and her three children, and her list was very meager. She just wanted parkas for her kids, one toy for each kid, but for herself, all she wanted was a bra, and it said in her own handwriting, "I don't own one." And I thought about it for a minute, and I called the director of development at the Y, and I said, I know you can't tell me her backstory. Her last name wasn't even on the form. But I'm just envisioning a woman leaving a dangerous situation, maybe in the middle of the night, running out in her pajamas. Now she's got three kids. She's living at the Y in one of your, what is it, 122 bedrooms?
104.
104 bedrooms?
I'm sorry, 94.
94 bedrooms, and one of those many bedrooms at the Y. And she can't go register her kids for school. Something happened to her, and the development director said, you kind of got the story there. Yeah, right. And I said, but I gave you all my business clothes when I moved up here for this other wonderful program you had. And she said, yes, but we have no underwear. And I said something like, I'm going to go get you some bras, and hung up the phone and then thought, what in the world did you just say? So that's how Brava was born. I'm a memoir writer and teacher, so we invited the community to write stories about the bras in their lives. And oh, my goodness, have we heard tales.
Yeah.
So let's get to those tales in a second. Mm-hmm. I want to focus in on DeQuetta for a moment of the need and what you see on a day-to-day basis at the YWCA and why this is so important.
Absolutely. Well, I always like to start with our mission. We're dedicated to eliminating racism, empowering women, and promoting peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for all. In addition to the economic empowerment services we provide, homelessness prevention, food security, and other supportive services, every day we house 104 women and 50 children. So we have a great need for such fundamental undergarments for our women, because a lot of times they can't afford it. And like the story that Marianne just shared with us, they have to flee situations and they just come to us with the clothes on their back.
Right.
So it's a great need. And imagine if we're housing 94 women at our 21 First Street and then 10 families out in the community, how great a need that is. It's not just one woman. It's not just two. It's many women. We had one woman that hadn't wore a bra for over 3 years. She was like a 54, like double G. Couldn't afford it. They're too expensive. So with this Brava event, we actually worked with a local lingerie company that actually allowed us to buy them at wholesale. So she got three bras for $96. And that money was able, we were able to pay for it through the proceeds that we raised with our Brava event.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And you don't, I mean, everyone should, I guess, but you think about sizing and you think about the importance of that. And it adds a level of complexity, but when you think about it, it really is rather simple. There is a need for bras, and this is a way of providing them.
Right, and a lot of the women come through the Y for one or two nights. So the 500 bras went out the door from the first year, went out the door very fast.
Sure.
And also other women in need are allowed to come into the Y if they need a bra to go there and get it. So we go through these bras very, very fast. And yes, we need them in every possible size. So we're taking donations. We take donations 365 days of the year for this
yes.
program. But honestly, go over to TJ Maxx, go over to Marshall's, go to your favorite bra store today, buy a box of bras yeah. and bring them over to the Y, because it's not just on next Friday night that we're collecting them, though that's part of the deal. To come to the event, you got to get a ticket and you've got to bring a bra with the tag still on. And that's how we raised so many bras.
Absolutely.
But also, then cash is king here for exactly what DeQuetta just said, mm-hmm. that you are able to then help women who need that, if you can order something that is special for
yes.
them, and that's where those that money comes from, which
absolutely.
Is very important. Let's talk about the artistic aspect of this, of the amazing writers and people who come up and tell a story, their story, a story about bras and their wives.
So this year we have 14 women and one very brave man. We've had men during the
our first one.
We've had men all every year, but this one is a particularly wonderful night because we've got poem, we've got essay, we've got one woman who's written a series of haikus about her bras, and we've got this one brave man telling a story. I won't step all over it, but imagine if you were taken to shop for your sister's first bra and you're a little boy.
Oh
and,
dear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the things that go through your head wondering, am I next? You know, there might be something in there that would be worthy of storytelling. What I find fascinating is that in our third year, I have never had anything repeated. In other words, mm-hmm. There are no two bra stories that are the same.
Yes.
It's just a wonder of the role of bras in our lives. We've had sad stories. We've had heartbreaking stories. We have a writer who's driving all the way she's driving about 5 hours from Pennsylvania.
Wow.
We have one from northern Vermont. We have somebody coming over from eastern Massachusetts. So we also have some diversity of geography this year, too.
It seems to me, and taking this a little bit farther afield, but just because I'm curious, it would seem to me when you do something like this and it is successful, then other organizations look at it, take notice, and say, oh, we should do that too. Have you seen that happen?
We have had requests to expand the program, and we're talking about it. I think it would make a very expandable program, but right mm-hmm. now we feel very strongly that
sure.
the bra program in Troy should stay in Troy and that it's very efficiently run.
Absolutely.
Right? But
yes, it is.
Sure, we'd go nationwide if we got a sponsor, well, right,
yes,
DeQuetta?
Absolutely. Yes, we think big.
No, absolutely. But I would just think that other places would come to you and say, "Oh, that we have a need here. How could we do this successfully
yes.
in our community?" When you think about that success and what you've been able to do, I'm hoping that you can share some stories, DeQuetta, about how it makes a difference and how it makes a difference in the lives of these women that you see come through your
yes.
doors.
So the woman that I spoke about earlier that went without a bra for almost 3 years. And to see how she was supported, to see how proud she felt, the smiles, not having to worry about people picking on her out in the community. So you actually see the impact. Every Christmas we have a resident holiday party.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our women are invited to the party, and that's also through our adopt-a-family that helped make that possible, and we give out the gifts. Now, during that time, we also allow for the women to choose what type of bras that they wanted, and each one of the women had the opportunity to get two bras of their liking. And that was something for them that was like, wow, you giving away bras for free? They still
yeah.
have the tag on them, and just feeling so grateful and appreciative of it, but also saying like, who thought of this? Who thought to have bras, you know, for us? And they just thought it was nice.
Okay, so which brings up this question, and get ready, Marianne.
Yes.
Get ready. Why are we so repressed in this country that we have trouble talking about bras, we have trouble about talking about underwear, we have trouble talking about cups and jock straps and condoms and all of that stuff? Why do we have trouble with that?
Not here we don't, Joe, do
well,
we?
Well, no, we don't, but yeah. But you know what it's yep, like in exactly. The outside world.
It is, and this is my own effort, this yeah. Is our own effort to stop that, because we need to talk about it. And I'm sorry we're so repressed, because the result is that women were staying inside. Women who needed to register their kids, needed to go vote, needed to get their meds at the pharmacy, are staying inside rather than saying, start a bra program. And so we started one. Absolutely. But I think it's hideous that we're so repressed that we can't talk about the need to wear a condom and the need to give someone else a bra. The bra is the beginning of this woman getting out of the wonderful residence you're giving them and getting back into life. So let's talk about it.
And you were talking about the story earlier that that one of the one of your participants told about shopping for his sister's bra. But you think of kids in the first bra. I mean, that must be an issue that you deal with as well, as young adolescents coming in and that first bra and giving them that opportunity.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because affordability is the issue. They can't afford it. So if we can provide them with a bra for free, and that's their first bra, that's something that's very memorable for them, their experience at YWCA. This is where I received my first bra for free. Mm-hmm. I did, you know, money is not an issue, you know, regarding yeah. Our efforts that we do. We want to take money out of it. And here goes a bra. And then making them also helping them to be comfortable, to have the conversation, to say, you know, I need a bra, and to feel okay with that, and then wearing that bra and the confidence that come with it.
I always get a charge because every time Kelly goes out bra shopping, she always takes me with her.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, yes, I love it too, except that, boy, you know who doesn't love it? The clerks in the store.
Yeah, well.
They just stare you down. We are not welcome in that store.
That's very funny. And I hope you just stare them right back.
Well, I have said she's looking for support. I am here for part of that support.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. Let's talk about it.
Absolutely. If I ever see you, I'll high five you.
Well, thank you.
I will too.
Yeah. Because even you have other women that walk in and are like, why is he here? Well, I know there's a chair there, but she just asked for my help. That's all.
Here for the support. Absolutely. Yeah. I think we could break down a lot of these barriers if we could talk about this, because here's the deal. This is about the sexualization. That's why we don't talk about it. It's about the highly sexualized nonsense that we ascribe to underwear, when in fact it's a fundamental, that used to just be called a foundation. And there's a real reason that we call these foundational garments. Because without one, a woman is not going out of the house. It's the foundation of her existence that gets her out in the community.
Well, didn't we started a problem too when we went from underwear to lingerie, right?
Yes, we did.
I mean, that is part of that sexualization.
Right. Who's it for? You know, it's for me.
Right.
It's for me. And let's just stop that right here. It's for me. Last year, 2 years ago, we had a woman read a piece. She's in a wheelchair. She read this piece about how when she wears her red bra, you don't see the wheelchair beneath her. Now, not that you can see the red bra, but it gives her such confidence.
Yes.
When she's wearing that red bra under her sweater that you cannot see, you don't see that wheelchair beneath her because she is meeting you right on. It is tremendously empowering for women to have the right bra. And that's what we're doing. And that's what we're doing next Friday night at the Art Center. Yes.
It is Brava. It takes place on November 3rd at 5 o'clock. And so you can learn more by going to artcenteronline.org, artcenteronline.org. The best way to participate, so walk us through the process. What's the best way? If I want to come and I want to help and I want to do everything right, what do we do?
Get some tickets.
Yes, absolutely. Tickets are $35.
Yep.
You can actually purchase them at the website that you mentioned, as well as on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/YWCA.GCR. There's an event page that has a link to the tickets as well. You can also purchase your tickets at the door, but just know that when you purchase your tickets, when you know that you're coming, make sure that you also bring a brand new bra. Like, there is no entrance without that bra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is sacred.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to come.
It's pretty great to see all the people walking through Troy with bras in their hands.
That is fantastic.
It's a whole night in Troy.
That's great.
And men come too. So men are welcome. A man will actually be doing a piece about bras.
Yeah.
So it's open to everyone.
My husband comes every year.
Yes.
Well,
he sits in the front row.
Of course he does.
Shout out to Rex.
Of course he does.
Yes. The other thing, too, is that I want to also shout out Nia Hamm with News Channel 13. She's a reporter. She's going to be emceeing the event. So thank you so much, Nina, for taking this on.
It's Brava. It takes place on November 3rd at the Arts Center of the Capital Region. To learn more, artcenteronline.org. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Daquetta Jones and Marion Roach Smith, love to you both for the wonderful work that you do and that you are doing, and great success for this event. And I thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. It's always a great pleasure and a delight to have you both.
See you at the Bra Store, George.
Yes. Can't wait. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.